Thursday, 31st of January, Costello Schwartz, followed by David Tuppencraft, Finley Shell Yard, Michelle Roche.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Wonderful to be back. What we'll be doing this morning, Be'ezus Hashem, is starting off with a few halachas that are very, very pertinent, very nogea l'halacha, and then gradually we'll be finding a distinction between the Tfilin Shel Yad and the Tfilin Shel Rosh. We'll speak a little bit about the lomdus of that, and then afterwards we'll be going from halacha into hashkofa, with some very interesting philosophical ideas behind the Tfilin Shel Yad and the Tfilin Shel Rosh. So I'd like to start off by talking about what is the earliest time a person can put tefillin on in the morning. This is a shaila that every rabbi gets asked the whole way through the winter months. What is the earliest time they can put their tefillin on? A person says they've got to go out, they have a business meeting, they have to go early to work, they're going on holiday, whatever it is, what's the earliest time they can put their tefillin on? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Hilchas Tefillin, Siman Lamed, Sif Aleph, Zman Hanachosan Baboiker, the earliest time, or the appropriate time, so one can start putting their tefillin on in the morning. You don't have a physical view of this. Zman hanachosan baboiker, mishayira es chaveiro, horogil imo katsas, from the time that you can see your friends, who you are rogil imo katsas, which means that you basically recognize them, I'd say more an acquaintance rather than a close friend over here. The Mishnah Brura says that if it's somebody who you recognize very well, then, you know, you can see them walking down the street, you see just the figure approaching you, the way they walk, you know that's your close friends. And if you don't recognize them at all, and even if they're very, very close, you won't recognize that this is someone that I've met once before. It has to be someone who's rogil imay katsas, barachok talad amas v'yakirenu. Someone who you know, not, you know, an acquaintance. And you, but when they come four amas away from you, and you already recognize them, then that is the appropriate time to put on tefillin. The Shulchan Aruch says, in this space, Osor Aniach Tefillin Balaylo, Shema Yishkochem V'Yishan Bohem. A person isn't allowed to wear tefillin at night, lest they end up falling asleep. And the Mishnah Brura quotes, V'Chayshinan Shema Yafiach B'Shinosoy, maybe the person will pass winds whilst they're sleeping, and that's not appropriate, obviously, when a person is wearing tefillin. Avo midoraisu mutar anichon balaylo dekaimelon laylo zman tefillin. Even though there's machlekes in the Gemara whether a person is allowed to wear tefillin at night, whether night is an appropriate time to wear tefillin, the maskona is that strictly speaking, laylo, the night time would be an appropriate time to put tefillin on. It's just we're worried shemo yafiach, as I were worried, so therefore they said one shouldn't put tefillin on, as the rabbanon imposed that one shouldn't put tefillin on whilst it's still night. So therefore the earliest time one should put it on is mishah Yakir Eschavera Horogilim Ekatas Brichik Aradamas, when you start recognizing your friends. Okay, now when exactly is that? Is it possible to exactly put our finger on the time? When is Misha Yakir? So the truth is there's a big machlokes about this. They say that the Stipler and Ramesha Feinstein said it's very, very hard exactly to work out Misha Yakir is and to put that on a luach. The Stipler used to go onto the Mirpeset, onto the porch in Bnei Brak, in the Kodel Chazanish, and he'd be looking up at the sky, and I don't know if they'd get a few acquaintances to walk past him, maybe, but he would sort of feel it out in the morning, when is the appropriate time to do it. It's very, very difficult to actually quantify when that is. Ramesha Feinstein says it's about 35 to 40 minutes before Nates, before sunrise this morning. Nates, I believe, was 7:41. Yeah, I think it was 7:41. So Ramesha Feinstein says only 35 to 40 minutes before that. In Kitzur Dine Eretz Yisrael Min Hogeho, it's brought down that 60 normal minutes, meaning not Shal Zamanios, not seasonal minutes, but 60 normal minutes before Neitz HaChamo is generally the earliest time that a person should be putting tefillin on. So that's all very well and good if a person is not under incredible pressure and doesn't need to go very early. But is there any room to actually put tefillin on earlier, before that? So what is what's advised is if that's a bit late, then you only need to put it on a little bit earlier. You only need to start davening a little bit earlier. What you should do is start davening earlier and put on the tefillin between Yishtabach and Yotze Oyer, and you make the bracha over the tefillin there. You find many minyonim here in northwest London, they start davening before Misha Yakir, And between Yishtabach and Yetzer Ayer, so there's a little bit of a pause, and then people will put on tefillin and make the bracha over there. Now what about if even that's too late? What about a scenario if a person, let's say it's the winter months, and they struggle very hard to get a job, and they have a job in the city, and they need to go very early in the morning, and by the time they finish, it's already going to be after Shkia, so they won't get a chance to put tefillin on during daylight hours at all. Yeah. So is there room to put it on even earlier than this? So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in Igros Moshe Chelek Aleph Siman Yud that if it's an Oynes Gomor or Hefsed Momoin, so an Oynes Gomor might be another example. Let's say a person's going into the operating theatre, a person needs to have an operation, and the time they're going into the operation is just before sunrise, like Zvizim Magdimen, and just before even Mishayakir, they're going in very, very early, and they'll be on the operating table for most of the day, and they won't become conscious until afterwards in the evening. Is there any room to put tefillin on before this magic moment, which is, let's say, the earliest we've seen so far is 60 minutes before nights? Is there any room to? So Moshe Feinstein says that in these sort of scenarios, either Hefsed Momon or Onus Gomor, where a person might lose money, or it's a complete onus, so he says, then it's actually okay to put it on even before Mishayakir, even before Alois HaShachar. They can put it on whilst it's still night, and at least that way they get the mitzvah d'oraisa, even though they haven't been able to be mekayim this in the correct way that Chazal instituted, that it should be after Mishayakir. But at least like this, a big chiddush, that they should, that this way they're at least mekayim d'oraisa, even though there's an ongoing machlokes between the Rishayim and the Achrayim, if you're not Makayim a Doraisa in the way that the Rabbanon instituted, whether you're Makayim the Doraisa or not. Ramesha Feinstein says in these scenarios, it's actually okay, Onus Gomor or such a Hefsed Momoin, to put it on even whilst it's still dark, but a person wouldn't be able to make a Brocha before Mishayakir, because how can you say Vatzivonu if it's something, if the way you're fulfilling this is not the way Chazal instituted you should fulfill it, so you shouldn't, he says, you shouldn't say Vitzivanu. Even though Minat Torah, 100%, but anyway, Berachas HaMitzvah are the Rabbonons, so therefore, we shouldn't say Vitzivanu. Interesting point about Hefsed Momon over here, if a person's going to lose out money, the halacha is that one doesn't need to give up a chomesh of Momono. A person doesn't need to spend more than a fifth of all of their money in order to fulfill a mitzvah's aseh. So here in this scenario where a person, let's say it would be in a situation where it's very difficult to get another job, there's absolutely no other way of supporting his family, and obviously to lose one's job is more than a chomesh of his mom and more than a fifth of his money, so that's why he says that one can rely on this and under these extenuating circumstances put it on very early in the morning. Okay, what happens if a person put their tefillin on too early? It was before the Zman, for whatever reason, and now the Zman arrives. And this is where we'll start coming to the distinction between Shalyad and Shalwesh. He's put it on too early, and now the Zman has arrived. Now it's Mishayakir. So we have to take them off and put them on again? Or is it enough to leave it on? Is it enough to leave them on? So the Gemara Menachah says, Yumashmesh, the Gemara says that when the time comes, a person, Yumashmesh, bit tricky to translate Yumashmesh, but sort of those wiggle, fiddle with them is the best translation, to touch them, to move them a little bit around a bit. And once he's done that, then that is sufficient. Being yimashmash b'tfilin is as though he's put it on again. Now this is something, no, he shouldn't make the bracha again. The Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha quote, says that you can rely on Rabbeinu Peretz, that if you've made it earlier, so then, if you have made the bracha by mistake, for example, before Mishayakir, then you don't need to make you shouldn't make the bracha again afterwards. If you haven't made the bracha, then yes, when it comes to Mishayakir, you should make a bracha. Both brachas, yeah. So over here, you come to Mishayakir, you mashmish b'tfilin. So pashtus, we'd say, that you have to, you mashmish fiddle with both with your tfilin shal yad and your tfilin shal reish. The losh of the Gemara is, you mashmish bohem, you should fiddle with them. However, the Rogachova of Yosef Rosen, the famous Gaon of Dvinsk, born in Rogachov, and then the Rav in Dvinsk, there was Meir Simchel was the Litvish Rav in Dvinsk, and there was the Rogachova Gaon, who was the Hasidish Rav in Dvinsk. He lived from 1858 to 1936. You can always recognise the photo of the Rogachova. Yeah, he's got whopper payas. Massive. Yeah, almost like a nozir. Because they say that he just didn't have patience to have his hair cut. Because when you have your hair cut, you can't think in learning. So he didn't have patience to be able to separate himself from learning Torah, even for the short amount it takes to have a number one, to have a quick haircut. He couldn't separate himself from Torah even for those small amounts of time. And they say about the Rogachova that I think that Ramea Semcha, Hakoyin the Meshach Chochma, said about him, it's not that he's got such a phenomenal memory. It's just that he's always learning everything, right? He's just always chazering. And as we'll see in the piece which we have over here from Sofnas Paneh Chilkas Tefillin, there are dozens of Maariv Mekomos inside in these few lines. Dozens of Maariv Mekomos. He almost writes in codes. Just says, oh, and this Gemara, and then this Gemara, and then this Yerushalmi, and then this Rambam. He assumes that, obviously, we all know what he means. So let's have a look at what the Rogachova says over here. He's going to be machadish that you only need to be a mashmash with your tefillin shel yad. So listen to this. Again, do you have to put your tefillin on again when it comes mishayake? That's the question that we're going to be dealing with. Do you have to take it off and put it on again, or is it enough to leave it on? So the Gemara says, the Shulchan Aruch says, yamashmash. What does yamashmash mean? The Rogachova says you have to only be yamashmash, which is the equivalent of putting it on, only your shel yad and not your shel rosh. That's what he's going to say. Yeah. So let's have a look inside. Halacha started over here from the place where I've underlined. Yeah, so it says V'hinei be'emes. V'hinei be'emes kach degabei tfilin shel yad ha-mitzvah hi ha-anocho ayakashiro l'shitzas Rebbe Eliezer. When it comes to the tfilin shel yad, what is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is the putting it on, either the actual tying, the kashiro, or the hanocho, the placing, whichever way around. But the mitzvah is the action. It's the action of putting it on. Avo b'shel roish, ha-mitzvah sheyiyye munoch. With the shel roish, the mitzvah is that it should be on your head. So, a big distinction over here. With the tefillin shel yad, the action of putting it on is part of the mitzvah. Whereas with the tefillin shel roish, the mitzvah is to have it on your head. V'ayim b'tayis v'sukkah daflametes, u'menochas daflametvov, omad alef gabi kaidem oir hayoim. Right, this is concerning if a person puts it on, our scenario over here, if he puts his tefillin on whilst it's too early in the morning, it's before Eir HaYom, it's before Mishra Yakir, where there the Gemara says, Yamashmesh, the person should fiddle around with his tefillin. He says, Ach, is the first word in the line, Ach nireli dezeh rak ashel yad. It's only with the shel yad that you have to reapply it, you don't have to quite put it on again, you have to be a mashmash, which is the equivalent of putting it on again. If the mitzvah with the shalyan is actually putting it on, now that it's mishayakir, he has to actually put it on again, or at least be a mashmash. With the shalrosh it's different, you don't actually have to place it on, rather it's enough that it is placed on a person's head. Therefore, since before Mishayakir it was already on your head, so now that Mishayakir comes, it's still on your head. So you don't need to do anything with this at all. You don't need to be a mashmish with it. You only need to be a mashmish b'shel yad. Okay. Now he goes on quoting maybe 10 Maariv Mekomos or so, where he questions this thesis, and he says, when it's a mitzvah just to have something there, does it mean you don't have to do any action at all? Right? And he goes in to discuss this, and he comes out that over here, it seems as though you don't have to do any action at all. Oh. Absolutely. So this is very, very interesting, that even though the Rogachev doesn't quote it, it's because probably for him this is something, for us it's, that's very, very interesting. But for him it was probably poshut, I couldn't believe he didn't even quote it. But lechayor, this is the loshon of the pasuk. Well, he mentions later that that's the brocha. He mentions that's why we make the brocha like this. But you're saying yes, this is mamish the pasuk, the loshon of the pasuk. It says ukashar from la'ifal yodecha, v'hoyu letzaytafayis beinei nacho. when it comes to the lo'is al yodecho, o keshar tom lo'is al yodecho, you're supposed to do the keshiro. Whereas, you're supposed to actually put it on. Whereas when it comes to the shalosh, v'hoyu l'taitofais be'enacho, and it shall be as taitofais between your eyes. It shall be as this ornament between your eyes, taitofais. Very difficult word to translate, taitofais. Tatfas, these four boxes, this ornament. I always wonder why anybody bothers translating tefillin as phylacteries. You know? Like shkoyach. If I don't know what tefillin are, I'm going to know what phylacteries are. What's the point? What have you gained by calling it phylacteries? So what's, you know, a bote macha, right? A place where you make the tefillin is a phylactery factory, right? But that's about all that you gain, is that corny joke. But apart from that, there's nothing really that you gain by calling it phylactery. Anyway, so that's it should be for taitofais between your eyes. V'hoyu, it should be there. Also very interesting is if you look at the Hakdomo of the Rambam to Hilchas Tefillin, if you just look at the bottom excerpt where it says Hilchas Tefillin, so this is just the first copy from the Rambam's Hakdomo to Hilchas Tefillin, Hilchas Tefillin and Mezuzah, V'sefer Torah, Yesh Bechon and Chomesh Mitzvahs Aseh, V'sefer Parashim, he says there are five Mitzvahs Aseh, one that are included in this book, and look how he enumerates these Mitzvahs Aleph and Beis, Lehayos Tefillin ala Roish, there should be the Tefillin on his head, Lekoshrom al hayad, to actually tie them onto the arm. So you see that it's very meduyik in the exacting phrase of the Rambam that there's a mitzvah to actually put it on the hand, but a mitzvah to have it on the shalosh. And over here I've just quoted this shtickle in the Rambam in Halachot Daled, Perek Daled Halachot Daled. Tefillah shalosh ein ma'akevet shal yad, v'shal yad ein ma'akevet shalosh. These are two independent standing mitzvahs. So, in a scenario where a person would only have a tefillin shel yad or a tefillin shel roish, in the Holocaust, there are many cases of people, such mesiras nefesh they had, such self-sacrifice, to be able to get some tefillin, even if they only had one, if they had only a tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel roish. Each one is an independently standing mitzvah. And he says, v'keitan mevarchin, al shalosh mevarach hasher kedushon mitzvah yisov etzvon al mitzvah tefillin, with the shalosh it's al mitzvah, whereas al shaliyad mevarach hasher kedushon mitzvah yisov etzvon lohoniach tefillin, the actual bracha is the bracha of putting it on. If we skip a few lines in the Sofnas Panach in the Rogachova, where I've underlined the next point, he says v'gam naskemine im koton oy ishron manichal ei tefillin im mahani. Another very very interesting practical ramification over here. Let's say a person is unwell. The Gemara in Nidda actually discusses this, and this is the case in many old age homes, many elderly people, a person who's unwell. Nevertheless, they can't put their tefillin on themselves. So, if what happens if a lady puts your tefillin on for you, a person's wife puts their tefillin on for them, right? They're not, a woman's not mitzvah in tefillin, or a koton, or a non-Jew for that matter as well. If they put your tefillin on for that person, and then the person is sitting there with his tefillin, has he actually fulfilled the mitzvah or not? So according to the Rogachova, he's fulfilled the mitzvah of the tefillin shel roish, because with the tefillin shel roish, it's about having it on. But he hasn't actually fulfilled the mitzvah of the shel yad, because the shel yad is actually putting it on. So if it was a person who was chayav in shlichus, if it was a person who was chayv in the mitzvah, then you can use them as a shliach. But if it's a person who's not chayv in the mitzvah, then you can't use them as a shliach. So therefore, they wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah. But he says so afterwards that it could be that they've even fulfilled the shalyad. Could be they've even fulfilled the shalyad. Why? Because the fact that you even put your arm out, the fact that a person even lets the person do it to them, is considered messiah. It's considered as though they're actually helping them to put it on. And he says that may be considered sufficient. One of the quotes he brings is the Masech Tomatis, where there's the issa of cutting a person's payas. So let's say a person doesn't cut their own payas. They go to a non-Jewish barber and they say, shave it all off, please. So they haven't cut their payas off at all. There's someone else who's cut their payas off. It was a non-Jew who cut their payas off. Someone else cut their payas off. The fact that you stayed there just with your head saying as it is and allowing them to cut it off, So there, a person, they're already included in the Aveira, the Issa of Makif, of cutting off their payas. And so he said that's one of his long list of sources, that it would be okay, even it could be that even if someone else, a woman, someone else puts his tefillin on him, it could be that he's even being mekayim the shalyads. And then in the final part, which I've underlined, he says, "Ubazem meduyek madon mevarchin lohaniach tefillin al shalyads." Ubi yushamim brachas perik beis halachogimul amasham dal shal roish mevarch al mitzvah hanochas tefillin ayin shom yishum debshal roish lehanochi al mitzvah rak shiyem munach. Okay, as we've already discussed. Okay, so ad kan the halachic angle over here, the distinction between the shalyad and the shalroish, says very, very clearly the shalyad is doing, the shalroish is being, is the fact that it is on, even if you don't do it. Very strange that we should have the mitzvah of tefillin, they should have these two components. Very unusual. So either a mitzvah is being, is doing, have a mitzvah that has two components. Is there any depth? There's always depth. Can we possibly understand any depth behind the significance over here of part of one mitzvah is doing and the other mitzvah is being? So my colleague and cousin, Rabbi Yeshua Hartman, speaking with him about this inyan, and he said and he suggested the following amazing idea. He said as follows: we know that tefillin symbolizes the connection that we have with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We're actually tying words of Torah, the Parshias, Matiyah Torah Hashem Beficha, we're actually tying Parshias of the Torah to ourselves. We're tying ourselves, Kaviyachol, to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The Sforim HaKadoshim called this the Chibur HaSholem, the absolute connection with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. There's a connection with our minds, our intellect, we've got the tefillin on our heads, a connection with our emotions, it's Keneged HaLev, it's on our arm, Keneged HaMaisim. It's a complete connection. When a person is wearing tefillin, Koroi, the Umas HaOlam is supposed to run away and be scared. They're supposed to, Shem Hashem Nikra Alecho, V'yoru, Kol Ami HaOretz, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecho. We're supposed to be connected, we're supposed to be almost the Gili of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam down here on the world, connected to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, plugged in. So our connection to Hashem, which is what the mitzvah of tefillin embodies, there are two components to our connection to Hashem. In the same way as with tefillin, there's doing and there's being, so too with our Yiddishkeit, there's one aspect of our Yiddishkeit which is just being, and there's another aspect which is doing. What does it mean there's an aspect of our Yiddishkeit which is just being? If I ask an average Jew, what did you do to become Jewish already? What did you do to become Jewish? The answer is nothing. You were born to a Yiddish mama, Mazel Tov, you're a Jew. You didn't have to do anything to become a Jew. It's just something that you are. And moreover, even if a person would never do all of the Averis in the world, Yisrael afal pi shechoto Yisrael. A Yid, even if he sins, even if all of his actions are against the Torah Rahman and Litzlon, he's still a Jew. You know, the Archbishop of Paris is Nebuch a Meshumad, he's Nebuch a Yid. He's someone who's definitely a Tinnik Shenishma, who's brought up in the Holocaust years in Paris. And, you know, a Yid always wants to make it to the top of any profession, yeah? So it's not good enough to be an undergalach. You've got to be the Spitzgalach. You've got to be an archbishop, right? So, as a Raya, he's a Yid. So, and apparently he even goes to the shul in Paris to say Kaddish for his father every year. Yeah? Right? Yeah. So, a bomber couple. Yeah? So, Nebuch Yisrael Ahu Bishachot Yisrael. If he would do tshuva, he'd come back to the fold. His kids could be Gedol Yisrael. Still he is. Yisrael Ahu Bishachot Yisrael. So your Judaism, part of your Judaism, yeah, it's true, it depends on the wife, yeah, but he himself, he would do tshuva. So your Yiddishkeit, to one extent, is dependent on who you are. It's about being. But to another extent, on the other hand, it's also dependent on what you do. The more actions you do, the stronger your neshama is, the more your neshama is meir, the more your neshama shines. Whenever a person does exercise with any muscle, that muscle gets stronger. They're more receptive to Kedusha. There's a greater magnetism between them and the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the more you do, the more you do. The more you do, the more ma'isim you do, so then the more of a Yid you are. So if there are two aspects to our Yiddishkeit, being a Yid, and also doing the act which a Yid is supposed to do, then we can understand why the tefillin, which symbolizes our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, also there's part of it which is being, and there's part of it which is doing. You know, when the Ramban asks the Kasha, says, why is it that we don't see in the Perish of the Chassav anything concerning why Hashem picked Avram Avinu? We just find Lech Lecha. Of course, we know from the Teresh of Alper that it says in the Teresh of Alper there is Urkastim and he jumped into the fire and he was Meisa Nefesh. In Teresh of Chassav, we don't know anything about it. We don't know why Hashem picked him. Why is that? So the Maharal says it's because if the Teresh of Chassav would have given us the reason, then we think the only claim we have to being Jewish is if we follow the words of Hashem. But in fact, in the Teresh of Echsav, we don't know the reason why in the Teresh of Echsav. Hashem picked Avram Avinu. We're now going to be this Mamleches Kayanim V'Goy Kadosh. No reason. So now you're a Jew and that's it, independent of your actions. So these are the two components of being a Jew. There's being a Jew and there's doing a Jew. There are two sorts of anti-Semitism. There's one sort of anti-Semitism which is against being a Jew, and one sort of anti-Semitism that's against doing a Jew. Being a Jew, the Nazis in Machshavah v'Zichron wanted to eradicate any Jews in the world. It didn't matter if you were a Haimish Yid with a Mit Shtreimel and a Weisse Zocken, or if you had been the Archbishop of Paris, yeah, with a cross and his funny hat. Wouldn't have mattered. They just wanted to kill every single Jew because they were against the fact that you are a Jew. Any Jewish genetic material we have to eradicate from the world. That's against being a Jew. Then you have the Soviets. The Soviets said, if you want, the fact that you exist doesn't bother me. Just don't keep any mitzvahs. Don't do anything Jewish. And then you can sit in your home in Moscow, you can eat a chazer treif, and we'll be quite happy. And we'll pretty much leave you alone. Because they're against the fact that we are doing Jewish ma'isim. And of course, the shroshim of this, we have Amalek and we have Yavon. Amalek were against us being Jewish. They wanted to destroy every single Yid, no matter what they did. Whereas the Yavonim were against us being Mekayim the Mitzvahs. And if we would have just become Hellenized Greeks, they wouldn't have minded at all. Yeah, they were Egyptian Greeks, Syrian Greeks, they'll be Jewish Greeks, they wouldn't mind at all. Hebrew Greeks, they wouldn't have minded. So Purim and Chanukah are the two Yomim Tovim, Midrabonon, where there's a Nitzochain, there's a victory over these two types of anti-Semitism. So Purim, the simcha, is that we are Jewish. Doesn't matter our actions. That's what Amalek was against, the fact that you are Jewish. Whereas Chanukah, the simcha, is that we can do ma'isim, we can do Jewish actions, because that's what the Greeks wanted to eradicate. And this is the deep reason why Chayav Inish Lebesumi Adelo Yoda on Purim. On Purim, there's an inyan to get drunk. Machlekas HaPoskim, exactly how one's Mekayim this, there's an inyan to get drunk. You get drunk. Are you sitting like a piece of fleshix on the floor? Can't do any mitzvahs. A rabbi is not allowed to paskin. A kohen is not allowed to duchen, do the avodah. A shtickel fleish. How is there any to get drunk? You know why? Because even though he's not doing any actions at all, the simcha in Purim is about being. Amalek wanted to stop every single yid from existing, from being around. So on Purim, the simcha is that we are yid, independent of our actions, even if we can't do any actions at all. We're conked out. We're on the floor, just a pile of Jew. Doesn't matter, but you are a Jew. The fact that you are a Jew, that's the great simcha over here. So this is the inyan of Chayav Inish Debesumi Adelo Yoda, and this is all what's symbolized in the Tfilin Shel Yad and Tfilin Shel Rosh. Hashem should send us Yad Deshmaya to be Mekayim this mitzvah and all of the other mitzvahs. Koreyuch Anochem.